echo Pat and I really appreciate everybody being here tonight and excited about our singing tonight. Thanks. I've confessed in the past about my struggles to worship in spirit and understanding and song. I'm easily distracted by lots of things. That's just something I struggle with, but you know, and it can be anything, you know, just you know, what I'm thinking about, what I've just done, or what I'm fixing to do, or you know, what Billy's doing over there, and my breath is okay, and then I get to the notes, and that's another distraction for me. And I say, "Is that flat or sharp?" And I was like, "Why am I even thinking that? I don't even know what that is." And it just so, and then half the song is over, and I've missed it, and it is a real problem for me. It's something that I have to constantly redirect. I'm not distracted at all. But history is a good teacher for me, and so I think about how it was done in the past. I mean, you guys know that the printing press wasn't invented until the 15th century, and so we have hymnals now. We've got songbooks, but what did they do beforehand? Or what did Jesus do when he sang? What did they do in the upper room? I have in my mind that Peter probably said, "Ooh, let's sing this song," and then he said, "Ooh, let me lead it," and everybody joined in, and there were distractions, I'm sure, but I feel like they were united in spirit in whatever they were singing, whether it was about love or hope or salvation or just how great their God is. And there was obviously a tune that they went by, but you know, no one looked at John a little weird when he was out of tune. But the song, I'm sure, centered them and united them and uplifted them, and Jesus too. And for some of these songs tonight, I'm gonna encourage all of us to sing with the understanding. With the more familiar songs that we're going to sing, we will not be using written music, and I've done this before, but for those who have trouble focusing on the message without looking at the notes, I'm going to have the little number there at the top, so you can grab your book and turn to it if you like. But I encourage you, if you can, I'm going to have the words up here, and they will be familiar songs to you. I'm going to encourage you to really dig deeply into what you're singing. And the first set of songs revolve around questions that beg to be answered. So who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of His words or doubt their validity? Who can teach the One who knows all things? Who can fathom all His wondrous deeds? And then another song, what would it profit me if I gained the whole world and then forfeited my soul? Every toy, every new pair of shoes or a real slick truck or anything, what would it profit if I lost my soul? And the answer is in the asking. And then Peter so honestly asked the question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" All these songs are going to be asking probing questions that beg an honest and obvious answer. Peter said, "You have the words of eternal life." So let's ask and answer these important questions as we sing this first section that David Young is going to lead us in.
Thank you. What shall it profit? Number 486 in the large hymnal if you need to follow along. Behold our God.
Amen.
where could I go? Most of us have the melody for this memorized, but so feel free to just sing the melody if you want to, but some of us have the harmony memorized. So, as always, let's concentrate on the words.
All right, my next section here is focused on some prayers. A prayer is a conversation with the Lord that we do. And I thought about a few songs. We're going to sing "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus" and "Higher Ground and We Shall Assemble." I thought about Hezekiah's prayer in 2 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read a few verses there. Hezekiah was, and the children of Israel were surrounded by the Assyrian army, and they had a guy that would come to them, a messenger from Assyria, and he would just he would bash the Lord, and he would tell the people not to trust in Hezekiah or trust in the Lord. And let me start picking up in verse 28 of 2 Kings chapter 18. It says, "Then Rabshakeh," that's the guy that was bringing all this turmoil, "stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean, saying, 'Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me, and come out to me, and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree, and drink each of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. And then in the next chapter, chapter 19 and verse 14, Hezekiah, hearing all of this, is incredibly distraught. And Rabshakeh had delivered a letter to them, basically outlining their demise. And Hezekiah knew nothing but to take it to the Lord. In verse 14 of chapter 19, he says, then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, who art enthroned above the cherubim, thou art the God, thou alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the king of Assyria have devastated the nations and the lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. And now, O Lord our God, I pray, deliver us from the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou alone art, O Lord, art God. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. I get chills thinking about that. So, in desperation, and Satan is at our door, and where could we go but to the Lord? And I ask tonight, what song do you have prepared in your heart to sing when that time comes? What prayer will you offer? And you may have one that you go to that's special, one that maybe your mom always sang or your grandfather sang that you remember. How will the Lord lift you up if you don't go to Him in those times? What would have happened had Hezekiah not done this? Would the Lord have lifted him up? Well, I gather from verse 20 that because you have prayed to me, I have heard you. That's powerful. I gather that the Lord would not have been there. And how will we receive something that we have not asked for? So we're going to sing songs, and Eric, I have blown it. Can you swap these next three for the three after that? So the songs that we're going to sing, Elias is going to sing first, a song just for today. And they sing this song at the end of Florida College Camp. It's always the last thing they do at the end of the day. Father God, just for today, help me to walk the narrow way. Can we pray that prayer? And then Andrew is going to lead us in Jesus, let us come to know you. And then Avery will sing, Jesus, draw me ever nearer. These are songs that we know. We don't need the words to. And let's talk to our Father as we sing these.
Father God, just for
today, help me to walk your narrow way. Help me stand when I might fall. Give me the strength to hear your call.
Can I have everyone bow with me, please? Thank you, Father God. We just come to you this great afternoon and thanking you for waking us up on this glorious Wednesday and bringing us all together in this congregation safely. And I also like to pray for the sick, the people that are on our sick list. Please help put your hand over them and help guide them. And yeah, I just ask that when we leave here, we leave with a clean, cleansed heart, that we feel great inside. And in Jesus' name, in your name, I pray. Amen.
Number 77, Jesus, let us come to know you.
Jesus, let us come to
Jesus, draw me ever near.
Jesus, draw me near.
There you go. Should be the powerful song assertions. So the next group, we have a lot of spiritual songs in our books that emphasize our expressions of where we're at with the Lord and where we're headed. And we can express, these songs help us to express our hearts and our, as Christians, we never quit, and our attitude is one of hope and trust and complete faith. And these songs can tell the difference, I think, as we sing them, in one that is just one who shows up and is a religious person, one who goes to church, and then one who is walking in the Spirit. Listen to this song that I'm going to read here that they used to sing a while back. It probably had a name to it, but we call it Psalm 104 and verse 31 through 34. It says, "Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in His works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let my meditation be pleasing to Him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." And you can feel the power in these words as they penned this, and you can imagine those in the field as they were gleaning the wheat and the smiths and their smith shop, you know, making the implements, and they're singing these tunes of gladness and praise. And then Paul was the king of wearing his heart on his sleeve. And you talk about a guy that appreciated his renewed life in Christ. He just couldn't hold it in. And so I thought about his thoughts in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7. He says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost, in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." And then drop down to verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude." And let us therefore, as many as are perfect and complete, that Christ has made us so, have this attitude as we sing these songs, these powerful assertions that Wade will sing for us, or lead us in.
If you'd like to follow along, it'd be number 423, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Domi, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the same. Oh,
Number 109, Higher Ground.
And oh soul, I'm pressing on the upward way, you ask my name.
Last song will be out of the supplement, number 76, if you'd like to follow along. We shall assemble.
Related to the previous group, Psalms can be very introspective and extremely personal. We're going to sing "I Love You, Lord" here in these next three songs. You don't want to go to that one. It will be whatever I have up there. But many relationships are severely strained sometimes, and. We find it hard to utter those words to the ones we are in a family relationship, and some just can't bring themselves to say them, and we need to realize the intimacy of our words to our Lord in this song and all three of these songs that we're going to sing. And to declare that you love the Lord and saying it to them, "I love you, Lord. Lord, I believe." those come from your gut, from your heart. Paul was told on the road to Damascus, he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And a lot of these songs, that's what we're doing. We're I will call upon the Lord. And that man whose son was trapped by demons, and there was nowhere else that he could go, and he was begging Jesus, please help my son. And Jesus was he said, if you can, and Jesus referenced faith, and the man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And these songs are powerful as we sing these, Lord, I believe, and I love you, Lord, and I'll call upon your name. So let's pour out our hearts into these very personal declarations and affirmations.
Number 67 in the supplement, I love you, Lord.
I love you,
number 110, also in your supplement, I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised?
413 in the large songbook, number 413, I Believe in Jesus.
I believe in the one name.
If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, you may. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, we're going to look at three passages as we extend the Lord's invitation. Jesse got a little personal there at the beginning of this singing, talking about getting distracted. It felt like it was really personal to me personal attack, maybe, because I have that issue. I get distracted too by lots of little things sometimes in my worship, and I'll be honest, maybe singing is the part that I do the best at not getting distracted, because the words actually have to come out of my mouth, and so that helps me stay engaged in those things. And ironically, perhaps where I do the worst at getting distracted is during the sermon. I think like 2% of the reason why I became a preacher was so I wouldn't get distracted during the lessons. You know, if I'm preaching, then I'm probably pretty engaged. But to this day, when Harold or Chris or anybody else is preaching, I'm taking notes like crazy, probably because the lesson is good, but also so that I will pay attention to what's going on. I've always enjoyed Bible class more. And one of the main reasons why is because I can ask questions, and questions come to my mind, and in a sermon, I'm off answering that question when I probably ought to be paying attention. But in the Bible class, I can ask the question that I believe needs to be asked in my life, and then that answer might come back, hopefully, from the teacher. And so I got a little bit of preview on what we were going to do tonight, and I saw that it began with questions and ended with this idea of affirmations. And I thought about some of the questions that are asked before people are saved in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, after Peter preaches his sermon, they were paying attention because this was important. This was powerful. And they asked the question that needed to be asked. If Jesus was the Christ, and if they had crucified him, which they had, and which he was. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, this was guttural, right? It came from the heart, from the gut. And they saw the predicament that they were in. What are we going to do? What have we done? And I'm not really entirely sure that they expected a positive answer from that. Maybe the answer was nothing. Huh? You messed up. It's too late. But Peter answers and says unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you realize you're a sinner and the price of your sin, that's the question you got to ask, right? Men and brethren, what shall we do? The same question was asked of Paul on the road to Damascus. The same question was asked by the jailer there in Philippi. But I want us to look at another question, this time in Acts chapter 8. After Philip preaches Jesus to this Ethiopian official, they're going down the road in verse 36. Now, when they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He had apparently already been told what it was he needed to do. Jesus had been preached to him. And so having that information, he says, okay, well, what stands between me and doing what it is you've told me I need to do? He says, what hinders me from being baptized? And so if you know your sin, and you know the question the answer to the question, what do you need to do, then maybe the question you need to ask is, well, what stands between me and doing that? What hinders me from being baptized? I had a study just here recently with a young man, and he had asked that very question of himself. And so he was trying to get his life together because he says, I got to be baptized. I got to be right with God, and I don't want anything to hinder that. But maybe you know the answers to both of those questions. And so it's not you that needs to ask the question tonight, it's me. And maybe the question that I need to ask is the same question. Well, Jesse quoted the answer to that question, right? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But there was a question that was asked before that. And now, why are you waiting? If you know what it is you need to do, and you know that there is really nothing that stands between you and doing it, why are you waiting? Are you willing to make the affirmation that I believe, as the Ethiopian did, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to do what it is that He's called you to do, to call upon His name? Then why are you waiting? Come now, as together we stand and sing.
What a wonderful crowd we have tonight, and we're so thankful for your participation, and I hope that it was edifying to you as it was to me, and I appreciate Rosemary typing all the words out for me, and may we use what Reagan said and what we sang in these songs to propel us into the world and carry it with us. We can carry a song in our heart, can't we? I believe we can. If there are no other announcements, Anson Adams will lead us in a closing prayer.
Bow with me. Almighty God, thank you for letting us gather here tonight to worship you and sing praises to your name. Lord, please help us to leave this place edified and glorified, and help us to have a song in our heart. Please help those that could not be here tonight, Lord, the sick and otherwise afflicted. Please help us to always strive to be the best Christians that we could be. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.